You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Tess in Illinois. Can I just say, there are a lot of CCPTs in Illinois. I get emails and coaching people and collective members from all over Illinois. So you all are maybe kind of sort of becoming a little CCPT hub up there, which is exciting, especially since, you know, you spend so much of the year frigid and cold. So I'm happy that you're finding CCPT to warm your hearts because it is way too cold up there. I was on a coaching call with a couple people from Illinois, maybe last week, and they looked like Eskimos, and I'm in a tank top, and I'm like, y'all, come to Florida. What is going on? Anyway, I know there's all kinds of wonderful places in all of the states, but Florida's pretty great, just saying. Okay, so let me read parts of Tessa's email, and interestingly, before I get into this is actually more of kind of a business, private practice kind of CCPT question, which I'm really excited because I don't get these kinds of questions often. And for those of you that are in private practice, this I think will be really helpful. So I've been making my way through the CCPT mindset recording, and it's been very helpful. If you don't know what she's talking about there, that is one of the workshops that I did in Australia. And so that is available on CoreWell, and it's also available to collective members. So if you would like to learn more about the mindset of a child-centered play therapist, that would be your gateway to do that. Okay, so back to her email. I'm still working in a group practice, but my goal is to open my own practice one day. I'm curious how you balance boundaries and customer service with your clients. Specifically, late cancellations, no-shows, parents not scheduling, parenting consultations, etc. I have a 48-hour cancellation policy currently that I've had no one question. However, it can get sticky at times deciding when and if to charge people. I typically will charge, but the training got me thinking about how that aligns with the customer service mindset. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. I'm thrilled to share my thoughts on this, actually. This is one of my favorite things. I love mindset. I love customer service. I love the business side of what we do. So I'm really excited to dive into this. Okay, so how do you balance boundaries and customer service? Well, first and foremost, I think this is a reverse engineering kind of scenario. So rather than looking at how do I balance boundaries and customer service, we look at what kind of customer service policies, adherence, and expectations do I have as a private practice owner? And what boundaries do I need to have in place that are part of my systems that are non-negotiable? They're two separate entities until they're established, then you weave them together. So here's what this looks like. We have a customer service excellence mindset. It's what we're known for. I hang my hat on our customer service at my center. It's the most important thing to me, aside from the clinical excellence as well. So customer service, that is my bent. It is my focus. It is my number one priority. Therefore, actually here, related aside, some of you all know this. I worked at Outback. Two different Outbacks, actually. The Steakhouse, for those of you international people. It's a restaurant in the States. Ironically, they don't have Outback Steakhouses in Australia. So make sense of that. But it is an Australian-branded steakhouse in the States. And I worked there. They're known for customer service as well. Across the top of the kitchen in the first Outback I ever worked in was painted, "Yes is the answer, what is the question?" And I learned that at 16 years old when I first started working in the restaurant industry, and I was in there for 10 years. So shout out to all of my restaurant people. You can take the girl out of the restaurant, but you can't take the restaurant out of the girl. It's legit true. I still pre-bus tables. I still stack plates. I still group glasses. And everyone in my family, my parents, my husband, my son, everyone goes, "You're not working here. You don't have to do that." But I'm like, "But I do." Anyway, so I am restaurant girl through and through, but that taught me customer service. I also worked retail, which taught me customer service. So it is a huge focus for me to be customer service minded. Therefore, yes is the answer. What is the question? If I can help you, support you, give you something, make something easier for you, accommodate you in any way, the answer is yes. Across the board, yes. Now, balanced with but I have systems and I have framework and I have expectations and I have process. And if there's any violation of those things, those are non-negotiables. So it is non-negotiable that you're going to come and meet with me every 5 sessions. It's part of my process. It's in my system. And I use those words on purpose. This is where language matters. It's about setting expectations. Do you realize if you say, and after I play with your child for 5 times, we'll set up a time to meet and we'll be able to process things together? Way too passive. And therapists have a tendency to be passive, by the way. So let's work on being assertive. Let's work on being direct. Clear is kind. That's a really helpful rule of thumb to store away in your brain and pull out at any given moment. Clear is kind. Setting expectations and being clear on the expectations, that's kind to your people. So instead of the very passive language, I say, and the expectation is that after I have played with your child for 5 times, we're going to set up a 5-week consultation because that's the way that I keep you involved in the process. You hear the word process? You hear the word expectation? Sometimes I say, and because of the way the system is here, now all of a sudden it's very clear there are expectations. You're going to accommodate what I have in place because those are non-negotiable. So language is a huge piece of this. Assertiveness is a huge piece of this. And figuring out what systems you're going to implement so that you have a well-run practice. Yet, all of that in conjunction with yes is the answer. What is the question? So when I have a parent that says, I'm going to have to check my calendar, I can't schedule it in person right now, but I'll check my calendar and get back to you. Yes, check your calendar and get back to me. But if I haven't heard from you in 2 days, I'm going to reach out and insist that we schedule something. So there's very much an accommodation and an understanding that people need grace sometimes. Yet at the same time, I'm not going to deviate from my plan. So speaking of your requests, the late cancellations, the no-shows, and the parents not scheduling, that's also about setting expectations. It's about from the very first interaction you have with them, when you meet with them for the very first initial parent consult, it's about making it very clear what the expectations are and your confidence and your articulation and you using words like system and process and expectations and framework. Now, all of a sudden, they know that they can't no-show. They know that they can't call late. Now, here's the caveat. In my intake paperwork, it does say we have a 24-hour cancellation policy so that if I ever need to fall back on information that was signed and agreed upon, I can say, it says right here that I have a 24-hour cancellation policy. But I am so clear and I'm so confident and I'm so articulate and people know that there's a system at my center. We rarely get late cancellations. We hardly ever get no-shows. And here's what we do for this. And I'm going to talk about sickness in a minute because that's kind of an outlier. But the late cancellations and the no-shows, we establish that time is valuable and this is important. And sometimes clients aren't the right fit. So sometimes they don't stick. And that's okay. Because if you're not willing to have your kid here on time every week, then you're not committed, you're not invested, and I'm not going to work harder than you. But it's about setting clear expectations from the get-go. So it's same time, same day each week. We reserve that time slot specifically for you. No other child will be offered that spot. So it's important that you're here. Here's why coming every week matters. It builds momentum. It allows the phases to move in a normal pace. Now all of a sudden I'm communicating the value of being here on time every week. That's in the initial parent consult. So we rarely have no-shows and late cancellations because we have a system. We have a script and we have a framework for our initial parent consult. This stuff is talked about when we meet. If you don't have a script and a template and a framework for all your interactions with your people, you need to create them. This is why, because every parent gets communicated the same information in the same way. Now, here's the difficulty with working with children and having a 24-hour cancellation policy. kids don't always wake up in the middle of the night sick. Sometimes a parent gets a call at 2 p.m. from the school and says, your child just threw up, please come pick them up. And their session is at 4 p.m. that day. That's technically a late cancellation when they call you at 2:30 and it's an hour and a half before their appointment and they say, yeah, my kid's throwing up, we're not going to be able to make it today. I would never charge a family for calling and saying that their kid is sick and can't come. But my official intake paperwork says 24 hours. That's not possible to adhere to. Now, if a person no-shows, legit just forgets. Oh, I totally forgot. We got busy because it's Christmas break or whatever. If they completely no-show, we give them one mulligan. So our script says, and this is from memory, I'm not reading it, but when you have scripts, you memorize things and then it just comes out really fast. That's why you should have scripts. So our script is, hi, so-and-so, you had an appointment today at such and such time. I hope everything's okay. I wanted to make you aware that since this is the first time that you've not attended a scheduled appointment, we will not bill you for today as a courtesy. But if it were to happen again, we will bill the full session amount in the future. Please confirm that you'll be able to attend the next appointment on such and such day at such and such time. Thank you so much, Brenna at the Kid Counselor Center. Okay. First of all, that's a really helpful illustration of why you need a script. Because when you can just spout that off, there's no brain energy and you're saying exactly what you want to say. Really important. However, back to the mulligan. The very first time someone no-shows, we waive the fee. That's customer service. It's also customer service to make them aware. Our policy says that we will bill. So if this happens again, we will have to charge you. Clear is kind. Now expectations are known for a second time. And they say, oh, that was really considerate and kind of them not to bill because I totally screwed up. I completely forgot about that appointment, but they didn't bill me for that. That's customer service excellence. So you balance it by having excellence in customer service with non-negotiable boundaries. And as long as you're clear, as long as the expectations are known, no one has an issue with that. But sickness is a completely different thing. Our policy is as long as you call and let us know that you're not able to attend, we will not bill you. If you let us know even 30 minutes before, we will not bill you. But if you completely no-show and it's happened more than once, we will bill you. Because if someone calls and says, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it, I can budget that time accordingly. I can make use of that hour. But if you just no-show and I spend the first 20 minutes thinking maybe you're just late, and then by the time I reach out, it's been 30 minutes, and then by the time I realize you're not coming, I only have a short amount of time to be productive with that hour. And that was missed opportunity. So Tess, I hope that that is helpful to you. I hope that that answered your questions. We always want to consider, if I was the customer, how would I want to be treated? And customers will handle any decision that you make if there's clear communication and expectations are known. Yet we also say, yes is the answer. What is the question? All right, y'all. I'm so glad I got to talk about businessy stuff. This is my favorite. This is what we cover in six-figure play therapy coaching. We talk so much about all of the businessy side of what we do. So I'm happy to get questions like this. This is exciting for me. Alrighty. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.